he'll take you, that he'll make you see things that are unseen to us. Make us more sensitive. Make us more sensitive to the problems in society, the problems within ourselves and within our minds. Why are we always being negative to each other? Why are we always, you know, he'll make you more loving. This is what I'm about. I'll show you the love that God has for you. And if you want to take it, go ahead. If you don't, well, go ahead. Good for you, too.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
If there are people sitting here within the sound of your voice who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, and they die today, what's going to happen to them, Jason?
I agree with what...
No, Jason. I want to hear it come out of your mouth.
Go to hell.
I want to hear it come out of Jason's mouth. Because what Jason presented to these people ultimately was a lie. What Jason just said to these folks was a lie, and I'm going to explain why in a minute. But Jason, I presume, Jason, you profess to know Christ.
No.
You don't?
I'm not lying.
Are you a Christian?
Okay, let me guess.
Okay, yes. Jason.
Okay, let me tell you.
I want you to answer the question. It's real simple. If you're a Christian, you know the answer to this question.
Yes.
If anyone in the sound of our voice dies today, having not repented of their sin and put their trust in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation, what happens to them?
Well, the Bible says,
no, Jason, speak up. Jason, while you were preaching health, wealth, and prosperity, you were loud. I'm asking you now to tell them the truth. Jason, what happens to them when they cross over into eternity? Answer the question.
What I believe is what is written in the Bible. And
what is
the Bible says is you're going to go to hell.
Then why didn't you tell him that, Jason?
I'm not telling him because
Jason,
I'm not
why
the
didn't
judge.
You tell him?
I'm not the judge.
Jason!
I don't know his life.
Alisa, nice to meet you, Alisa.
As a Christian, it's your job to witness, to bring other people to Christ so that they won't go to hell. You could tell them all day that they need to love and they need to, but if you don't tell them, if you don't break it out to them, if they do not believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sins and if they do not repent, they're going to go to hell.
Alicia's right, my friend. Alicia's right. Well, hang on, Jason. Hang on. Alicia's right. Alicia is absolutely right. And unfortunately, we live in America. And the American Christian Church is sick. It is sick. The American Christian Church, by and large, has a problem. The American Christian Church is more concerned about what unbelievers think of them than where unbelievers will spend eternity. And so you can walk into First Church of whatever on any given Sunday and hear Jason's message. God is love. God has a wonderful plan for your life. God wants to make your life better, which is completely contrary to what Jesus himself said. Jesus said, men will hate you because of me. Jesus said, in this life, you will have persecution and tribulation and sorrow. And Jesus then encouraged those who are listening to not fear, to not worry, because he has overcome the world. What Jason wants to promise you is your best life now.
Jason wants you to go to hell,
my friends, because if you do not know Christ according to Jesus, according to the Word of God, you are condemned already. Jason wants to lie to you and convince you that you're okay.
Okay, what I'm trying to do is the promises that God has put in the Bible for us, for me and you, for them, for each and one of them, that could be great. That could be great. That God could use them and be great in this world.
That is not the promise. That is not the promise. Jesus never said, pray a prayer, ask you into my heart, and your life will be great. Jesus never said that. God in the flesh who came to preach the gospel was murdered on a Roman cross for preaching his message. Jesus never would have been murdered had he preached Jason's message, because the world loves what Jason has to say. God loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. Ask Jesus into your heart and things will get better. Jesus never said that. Jesus did promise life, my friends, but it wasn't your best life now.
It's after.
It is a future hope. It is an eternal hope. It is not your best life now. Go tell my friend who serves in China, who trains Chinese to go over to North Korea to share the gospel, where they tell North Koreans, if you profess faith in Christ, you will be dead in a year. Go tell them that this is your best life now. Go to Orissa, India, where just a couple years ago, thousands of Christians were butchered by machetes and burned to death because they would not deny Christ. Go preach Jason's message to them. Go to a high-power security prison where I served as a young deputy sheriff. Go to a man who's looking at death row, who's looking at being gassed or electrocuted or being put to sleep like a dog. Go tell him, pray a prayer, ask Jesus into your heart, and you will be healthy, wealthy, and wise.
I'm not saying wealthy.
It is a lie from the pit of hell. That is what Jason
yourself
is bringing to you. And Jason, among all of us here, Jason needs to repent. Jason needs to turn from his sin. Jason has to stop being an idolater, creating a Jesus in his own mind to suit himself. My friends, idolatry is a very prevalent sin. Millions of people around the world cut down a tree like this. They'll carve it into some image, nail it to a mantle, and they'll bow down to worship it. It was created with human hands. It can't see. It can't feel. It can't hear. It can't save. It can't destroy. But they worship it. Now, those of you who are listening, maybe you've never done that. Maybe you never will. But there's actually a more common form of idolatry. It's idolatry of the mind. It's what Jason is practicing today. He's created a Jesus in his mind that is loving, but is not holy, is not righteous, is not good, is not filled with wrath. But yet Jesus himself said these things. He said these things. Jesus didn't come to this earth with Jason's message. He came to this earth with a message that can save. The gospel. It's good news. It's good news. But Jason, like so many others, has fashioned a God in his own mind to suit himself. A God that is not judgmental. A God that will turn a blind eye to sin. Maybe even look at the sin I love the most and applaud it and say, way to go, I like that sin. That's idolatry. That's blasphemous. No, God is holy. He's holy and he is just. He is going to punish sin. Look, my friends, when Jesus came to earth the first time, he was born in very humble circumstances, born in a feeding trough around the dung of animals. He lived a very meek and lowly life. And he died a death he did not deserve on that cross. And then he forever defeated sin and death when he rose from the grave. But my friends, the word of God is clear. When Jesus returns, and he will return, he's not coming with a pacifier in his mouth. He's coming with a sword. He's coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's coming to judge both the living and the dead. In fact, the word of God says that the blood of his enemies will drench the hem of his garments. He is a judge. He's righteous. And to say that God is a judge and that God will judge sin is not to be judgmental. It's simply to provide a warning. Jason doesn't want to warn you. because Jason's more concerned about what you think of him and his religion than where you're going to spend eternity. I don't care what you think about me. I don't. I can't save you. I certainly can't condemn you. I can't judge you. And I don't want to. But I know the one who will. And if you know Christians and they won't tell you the truth, if you know Christians and they water down the gospel like Jason and make it something it's not, they don't love you. They don't care about you. A friend, a true friend, will lay down their lives so that you will live. A true friend will sacrifice friendship because they care more about you, the friend, than about the friendship. And shortly before Jesus died, he said, "Greater love has no one than this, than he who lays down his life for his friends." Yeah, do I sound upset with Jason? Yeah, I am, because he perverts the gospel. He blasphemes the God of the Bible. He blasphemes the God I worship. Yes, that upsets me. What he's doing is what's talked about in Hebrews chapter 10. If we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and a fury that will consume the adversaries. And a little further in that passage, it talks about trampling under our feet the blood of Christ, regarding as worthless, regarding as unclean what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And so, yes, I can have righteous indignation towards professing Christians who would choose to trample under their feet the blood of Jesus Christ and make it ineffective, and make it worthless, make it useless, and instead present you with a message that will not save you, but in the end will only condemn you. So, okay, you're going to go home with this. You heard what Jason had to say, and you heard what me and my friend Ray have had to say, and you're going to have to decide whom you're going to serve. Jason's God or the God of the Bible? Jason's figment of his own imagination, or the God who has both revealed himself in creation and in your conscience? God has already written his law on your heart. You know it's wrong to steal. You know it's wrong to lie. You know it's wrong to blaspheme God, even if you deny his existence. You know all those things are wrong. Mommy and Daddy didn't have to teach it to you. You certainly aren't learning it on a college campus today, where everything goes. You know that instinctively because God has created you with a conscience. Con, meaning with, science, meaning knowledge. And he's also written on your heart the reality of his existence. And you know you're going to stand before him. There are no such thing as atheists. There are agnostics. There are those who aren't sure if God exists. But there are very few of those. The only ones who claim to be atheists and agnostics are the ones who validate what the Bible says in Romans chapter 1. For by their unrighteousness, they suppress the truth. And they choose to worship the creature instead of the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. Anybody who claims to be an atheist is ultimately lying to themselves. That's how they sear their own conscience. If I can close my eyes, click my heels together, and say there's no place like home, I can deny that God exists. But that doesn't change reality. It doesn't matter what we believe, my friends. What matters is whether or not what we believe is true. And what my friend and I have presented to you today is the truth. Not because we believe it to be true, but because it is true. Because Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And my prayer for you is that the seed that has been planted in your heart today would fall on good ground. And that you would believe the truth. And by God's grace, you would turn from your sin and put your trust in Christ. My prayer is that it would not fall on hard or rocky or thorny ground, and you would listen to the lies of Jason, who knows neither the Christ or his word. My friends, turn to Christ and live. It is an offer of grace. The gospel is not a judgmental message. It is good news. It is an offer of true love, not an offer of worldly love like Jason wants to give you, but a godly, Christ-centered, perfect love that can only be given by Christ. It's the gift of freedom, my friends. Jason wants you to remain enslaved in your sin because he will not call you to repent. My friends, we're all slaves. We are either slaves to sin or we're slaves to Christ and his righteousness. The slave to sin will die, and the slave to Christ will live. So repent and believe the gospel today while God has given you time. Thank you for listening.